Please take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We are looking at this list of spiritual gifts, or of gifts of the Spirit. We are looking at this list first because the book of Romans comes first. And so, but not necessarily because those books were written in that order, but just in our copies of God's Word, we find this list first. So we're looking at this list. Question: when we have the lists, are the gifts put in an order of most important to least important? I do not believe they are. Are some gifts, because of their nature, a little more necessary perhaps than some other gifts? What do you think one of those very necessary gifts was? Our evangelism is, we studied last week, the gift of prophecy, and that was the giving and receiving of new revelation. And so certainly that would be a very, very important gift. God is speaking through the prophet and giving us new revelation. But having said that, what did we conclude at our study last week about the gift of prophecy? It has ceased. It has is no longer a gift that is possessed or needs to be sought. And what is the reason for that? And we have not just the New, but the Old Testament. We have God's completed revelation, Old and New Testament together. We have God's completed revelation. So God has chosen to conclude the revelation that he has given to us at this time. And when we get to heaven, do you think we'll learn some other things? Yes, we'll have a lot of other things revealed to us that we don't know. But for now, we certainly understand that God's gift of a prophet giving new revelation from God, that has ceased. Now, if we look at this list, then, Romans chapter 12, and it started in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now we come to the next one in verse 7. It says, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. And certainly this gift of ministry is kind of an unusual capacity to serve faithfully behind the scenes. In practical ways, in ways to assist the work of the Lord and encourage and strengthen others spiritually. It's called the gift of ministries. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 7, it's called ministry. Let us wait on our ministering. But in other places, that same word is translated serve or service. It's used of Phoebe. Turn over to chapter 16 of Romans. And in verse 1 of chapter 16, you have a servant of the Lord named Phoebe, says, which is a servant of the church. Same word, minister of the church. And and receive her in the Lord, and assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. So Phoebe is commended here because I believe the scriptures indicate that she was one who was blessed with this gift of ministry, or gift of service, we might call it. If you go back to Acts chapter 6, and would you turn back there with me, please? Acts chapter 6. What do we usually think is the content of the first part of Acts chapter 6? Yeah, the selection and setting aside of the first deacons. And what does the word deacon mean? Servant, minister. And so notice what it says in verse 2. It says, then the 12 called the multitude of disciples with them and said, it's not reason that we, those apostles and those that we should leave the word of God and do what? Serve. There's your word. Serve. Minister at tables. So are you getting the picture? This word means minister, serve. And we'll find as we look a little later that it's exactly the same word found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, called helps. Same word. So this, getting it all together, this is the gift of helping. This is the gift of service. This is the gift of being a servant and ministering to others. It's also built on a verb form that comes from the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 35. And there it says, to help the weak. To help the weak among you. And so it implies rendering assistance, especially to those who need and are weak and needy. It has been defined as anything that would be done for poor or weak or outcast brethren. And so it's the gift of helps, the gift of ministry, the gift of service. You know, when I was in pastoring in East Lansing, Michigan, I, like this church, I had a lot of men who had wonderful backgrounds in certain areas. I had a man who worked for the state of Michigan, and he was one who knew all kinds of plumbing and wells and those kind of things. I had another man who ran his own lighting company, so he knew electricity and everything. I had another man whose business was sheetrock and putting up sheetrock and so forth. So I had builders, and I had electricians, and I had several men. One year in the fall, there was a small church, very small church, that was a sister church of ours in Lansing, Michigan, that had a lady in their church that was very, very destitute. This lady was living in a house without running water, without electricity, and she was living in this house that was poorly insulated, and she was a believer. Her husband had abandoned her many years before. She had raised three teenagers by herself, and she was working at housekeeping at a hospital, and she was very faithful in her work, and she was a hard worker, but she just couldn't make ends meet. And so she lived in this house that had all kinds of needs. And this congregation was, as I said, small and did not have several of those men. But one of our men, he actually is one of my deacons, knew this pastor of that church and found out about this lady. And so one Sunday night, as a congregation, we discussed whether or not we would like to try to take on a project to help this lady. And that very night, we took up an offering, and we took up $1,100 to just buy building materials with to help her. And then we started, and we had to move her out, and she moved to her mother's house for a while. And we went in there, and I won't tell you all the stories, but we tore up carpeting, and we just gutted the house, and there were holes in the walls, and there was no insulation anywhere, and so we really took on the project, and we worked for any night that we were free, we'd go and work, and then Saturdays we would spend working, and our goal was to try to get her back into her own home by Thanksgiving. We were setting a goal. Praise the Lord, we were able to accomplish that goal, and I'll still never forget she wanted to help one day, and she brought over a big pot of chili that she had made. And we already at that time had her electricity back on. We had a stove because she didn't have a stove even. We had gotten some appliances and some other things and put it in there, and she had a stove. But she hadn't been used to having a stove. And what, you know what she had cooked on before? A space heater that she used for heat and for cooking. And so what did she do? She came over, lighted the space heater, and set the pot of chili on the space heater. And I turned to her and I said, "You do realize that your stove is working, don't you?" And she said, "I've got a stove, you know." And so, but I'll never forget the day we finished and had everything ready, and we were all there and welcoming her back into the home. She went to the counter. We put on new countertops on her counters, and she stood there, and it just made the tears run. She stood there and just rubbed that counter. Just rubbed it. What a blessing. Later that year, her youngest daughter graduated from high school, and she invited our whole church to come to an open house for her. And you know what? A whole lot of people in our congregation at the time, whether or not they had the spiritual gift, what did they do? They ministered. They served. You know, sometimes people say something like this. I don't know what my spiritual gift is, but at least I can serve. Well, now I'm not saying it is, but let's just think for a minute. If it were, and I'm not sure it is, but if it were that these gifts are being given here in order of importance, with prophecy being first, if we were thinking about gifts of importance, what was second? This ministry gift. You know, to have the gift of ministries should never, ever be thought of as being a lesser gift. In fact, if we compare some other teachings about the organs of the body and how some of the organs that we would think would be least important are actually the most important in the body, so then maybe sometimes in our minds, if the things that appear to be the least important are actually the most important, the most necessary. And so don't ever think that if you don't have a spiritual gift that is noticed and known and seen all the time by everybody else, and you like to serve behind the scenes and you like to do things that nobody ever knows about and never comments on, and they don't take notice, but God knows, and those are important. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. And here is Paul going through a bunch of people that have been ministering to him. And when you come to verse 15, 1 Corinthians 16, 15, it says, "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." What was true about that household? They were addicted to ministry. And this is the same word here for ministry over in Romans 12, 7. They were addicted. Can you imagine being addicted to serving others and to being a servant and being somebody who enjoys helping others? The gift of helps, the gifts of service, the gift of ministry. And then let's turn again to 2 Timothy 1:16. 2 Timothy 1:16. "And the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he did what? Oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chains." He oft refreshed me. You know what that's being described there? A gift of service, a gift of ministry, a gift of helps. A person with this gift will often loathe the limelight, but they are an effective backbone of the church. And certainly we should use those as God intends. You know, these are the type people who will, when necessary, fold bulletins. Or when necessary, do some maintenance work of painting that nobody knows about or sees. Or somebody who will type something out for someone else who needs it done. And or maybe set up chairs. Or maybe help clean. But they do those all in times when they're unseen, they're unknown. How invaluable are these type men and women who do this kind of work joyfully and faithfully? It is an amazing, magnificent gift. Do you know, the story is told of a pastor who was teaching on the spiritual gifts, and as they were he was speaking, he came to this gift, and as he was explaining it, there was a young lady who was present, and after the service that day, she concluded that her gift was indeed the gift of helps, the gift of ministry, the gift of service. And so she put it to work by volunteering to do housework for an elderly neighbor every Saturday morning. And certainly it was through that testimony that guess who came to the Lord? That neighbor lady. All because of a lady who exercised her gift of service. Don't ever think, well, I can't do anything, but at least I could help. I had, and this is not one of the spiritual gifts per se, but I had a lady in my congregation who, within just a very few years of my arriving in Florida, she was unable to attend any longer. Her health would not allow her to attend. And we tried to visit her very often. Her name was Gladys Schreiner. And Gladys couldn't get out, but you talk about a witness in her own home where she lived. She lived in a convalescent home, and she was a tremendous testimony there. And but you know what she was also? She prayed for me every day. And she was such a tremendous support to me and our ministry there in Florida, because she said one day, I can't do anything else. I said, I don't want you to do anything else. Just pray, pray. And she would pray, and I love to pray with her. So do not minimize this gift. This gift is an important gift. This is a necessary gift. This is a tremendous gift that God gave to the body of helps, of ministry, of service. And if God has given you that gift, use it for God's glory. How many of you know who William Carey was? Do you know that William Carey had a sister who for 50 years was paralyzed in a bed, and she could not even articulate vocally oftentimes the words that she wanted to say? She was propped up in bed, but she could still write, and she would write lengthy letters of encouragement to Carey and prayed for him continuously. Someone has said, well, we don't find missionaries like Carey anymore. Maybe it's because we don't find sisters like Carey had very much anymore. Certainly, the sister, even though paralyzed, had a gift of helps to her own brother in ministering to him. And the results of Carey can be tied in to the helping prayers of his sister. Prophecy helps. May God use the gift of helps in our ministry for his glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this particular gift, and we thank you that we believe there are perhaps several in our congregation who manifest and use this gift. Certainly, we are all encouraged to serve, and we're all encouraged to help, and we're all encouraged to minister to others. And yet, in a sense, there are some who are particularly blessed with that desire and with that ability. And so again, use them for your glory. Bless our time of fellowship tonight. We pray that you will just encourage Vinky and Devia and family as they head off to India this week. We pray that we might again hear wonderful reports of how you have met their needs and provided housing and help them get settled and get this booklet printed and all the things that need to be done. And so we give you the praise and honor and glory ahead of time for all you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.